Well, good morning. It's a real pleasure to be with you today to talk about pet partners. I was struck by your mission statement, and I want to draw attention to it. The last sentence: we work together to make our world a more compassionate, just, and respectful place. And in that mission statement, in that particular statement, you are in concert with Jews and Christians and many people throughout our nation and even the world. As Jews say, they are committed to tikkun olam, that is, bringing healing to the world. To provide a little bit of a theological basis for what we do, I want to draw attention to Genesis chapter 2. That's the second creation myth, and when I use that word, I mean sacred story. That's what I mean. The second creation story says this at Genesis 2:15. It says, "And the Lord God took the human and placed it in the Garden of Eden." And then there are two verbs. Certain translations go to till and keep. Till meaning to toil, to work. But the more sensitive nuance for those two verbs, according to Christopher Wright in the mission of the church, is to work on its behalf, to care for it, as if to work in its best interest to protect it. I believe that there's a symbiotic relationship between human beings and the good earth, and you would probably accept that, at least to some degree. As we work for the well-being of the good earth, as we attempt to protect it, to serve its best interests, it in turn works for us and cares for us. As we care for Mother Earth, she cares for us. Now, that is what we find to be true with some of the animals that we have. We have relationships with all sorts of animals, horses. We've commissioned guinea pigs. Potbelly pigs, I think is what it was. Cats, all sorts of animals can work and serve us as we work and serve them. And so we benefit. And Carolyn, she didn't tell you this, but she is a therapist, spent many, current still a therapist at Terrell State Hospital. Next to her is Sue. Sue was a therapist too, different kind of therapist, but did marriage and family counseling. All of us here recognize the profound benefit that animals can have in our lives. I was speaking with Mark, who has a dog. Mark, I forgot your last name. I'm sorry.
Rachel,
that's right. Rachel is your daughter, correct. Mark was saying that his dog is able to tell when he's going to have a seizure. There are dogs that pick up on that. We don't know the extent of the giftedness of some of these animals. One day we were in church, and a dog by the name of Doodad, a German Shepherd mix, started to chirp when one of our people were reading a lesson, Donna Maziar's. And that dog seemed to be trained on something. I've never heard him chirp before. Do you believe in beings without bodies? Mortimer Adler, a philosopher of the 20th century, actually argued for their existence. He called them angels. And we kind of wonder, you know, what was it that Doodad might have been seeing? The dogs that we have in worship on Sunday morning have actually enhanced our worship experience. I was struck by the fact that you greet each other early in your service. We do something similar to that. In the Western liturgical tradition, there's something called the passing of the peace. You may be familiar with that, where we greet each other. They did in the ancient times with a holy kiss. We don't do that, but we do hug each other. Oh, we shake hands. But it's interesting to see that in the service, the room kind of tilts a little bit. It tilts toward the dogs and their handlers. People love to come over and interact with these animals, and the dogs seem to love it as well. Well, you've heard a little bit of the theological grounding. I thought it would be nice to hear some stories about how these dogs have interacted with people in various settings. Linda or Pam or Carolyn, would you have a story that you might like to share? This is Linda.
I don't know how to turn it on.
You just keep talking.
Okay.
It's one you have to get close to.
In any case, what I was going to tell you about was Rose and I visited in ICU at Scottish Rite, and these are children that have had surgeries, orthopedic surgeries usually. And the last one of the day was a young man, and his father was a little frantic because she said, "You know, he had surgery yesterday. He won't wake up. I keep telling him the dogs are here, and I know he wants to see the dogs, but I can't get him to wake up." So I said, "Well, maybe Rose can." And so I put Rose on a pillow next to his head, or very close, and then I lifted his hand and put it on Rose's back, and I saw a little curling start at the corner of his smile, and then his eyes slowly opened a little bit as he began to love on Rose. But to me, that was a wonderful little experience, miracle. She woke him up, didn't you, Rose? But that's my short
story. Yeah. Pam, would you, do you have a story that you might like to share?
Hi, I'm Pam, and this is Harry. And Harry is not a registered pet partner yet. Oh, thank you for short people. He will be in September, hopefully, if he doesn't act too crazy. My miracle story is about one of my heart dogs named Bob. And I lost Bob about a year ago, and he was so wonderful. Everybody loved him wherever we went. And I would, when I'd walk in the hospitals, I'd hear from across the lobby, "There's Bob!" You know, and not to mention me, of course. I'm just the roadie that takes him places. But he was wonderful. And one day we were walking down the hallway in one of the hospitals, and a lady came ripping out of one of the patient rooms, and she said, oh, can you bring him in here?" And I said, "Well, sure." And she was going to come out and pick him up, and I said, "That's okay, we can walk." And so we went in there, and her father was the patient. He had been in a coma for several days, and they had not gotten any response from him at all. But they knew he loved dogs, so there were several people in there, family members, and one of them, before I could even stop them, they were so excited, they scooped Bob up and put him right in the bed next to the patient. And so I put his hand on top of Bob. Bob had real long, silky hair, and we would stroke his hand, just like Linda was saying, and there's something about that touch. And all of a sudden, this patient's eyes flew open, just like he was surprised. And he said, he looked at me, all his family around him. But he looked at me, and he said, "Hello, what are you doing here in the hospital?" And I said, "Well, Bob and I came just to visit you today." And his family went nuts. They started calling people, taking pictures, dragging nurses in, everything. But this gentleman kept talking to me, and he I said, yeah, hospital's a heck of a place to meet, isn't it? I said, next time let's meet out at Six Flags or something. And he said, oh, no, I like to dance. Do you like to dance? We can go dancing. And I said, well, sure, we'll do that. And it was the sweetest thing. And so finally the family was so excited and they were wanting to talk to him, of course. So Bob and I very carefully and quietly left the room. But it really touched me. At first, several days later when I went back, I found out that the gentleman had passed away, which made me very sad. But I got to thinking what a precious gift Bob had given them to allow the family to see him one more time. Yeah. And to visit with him and be with him. So that is one of the many miracle stories that my dogs have shown me. Thank you.
Sue, do you have one that you might like to share?
Hi, I'm Sue. I've worked in hospitals, but my preference really is to the dogs that I have, and I have two. This is number two here. We really like to work helping children and adults learn to read better and enjoy reading better. And this is really critical, and we work mostly at the Samaritan Inn with the homeless people and at a homeless shelter, helping these children learn to love books and learn to love reading, because this is a fundamental skill that they'll have the rest of their lives. Carolyn and I, about 6 or 7 years ago, we just were starting out together working as a team and trying to build up the pet partner in this area. At that time, there was only about 3 or 4 of us in this entire area. And we banged on the doors and banged on the doors, and finally I got an in when my grandchildren went to an elementary school in Frisco called Ogle Elementary. We got to be friends with the counselor, and we convinced her and the principal that we could bring these dogs in. So we started a reading program to improve reading skills in second graders who were struggling to learn to read. So they could read a little bit, but not a lot. So we would take the dogs over there, and the children would come in about 15 minutes apiece for each child, about 5 back to back. And the first little boy came in, and he got all ready. He got his guided reading book out, and he opened it up, and he looked up at Carolyn and me, and he goes, do I read to the dog, or does the dog read to me?
Carolyn, would you like to? Okay,
sure.
Carolyn.
I'm going to tell you a miracle story about a team I never laid eyes on, which made it even more marvelous that it would come back the way it did. I was on a polar bear tour in Canada, and the young guide, young lady, had a couple of children. She was from Alaska. And I had on my windbreaker, and it had a lot of patches for pet partners and therapy dogs and whatnot on it. And she walked up to me one day, and she pointed to it, and she said, I know what you do. And I looked around. I said, are you going to tell anybody? and she said, I know what you do. She said, my son was very ill. I think he had some chronic disease. I want to say it was Crohn's. And he was in the hospital very, very ill. Well, medical intervention had turned that around, and he was doing really, really much, much better in terms of the medical diagnosis, but he had slipped into a terrible depression. And she said nothing we tried worked. Books, games, toys. Said we hadn't seen him smile in days. And she said we were really beginning to fear that we were going to lose him, not from the Crohn's, but from the emotional end. And she said one day a lady appeared at our door with a dog. And she said, do you think your son might like a visit? And she said, sure, come in. And she said within 10 minutes, the dog was in the bed with her son, and he was giggling and laughing, and they were playing. And that was the turn that turned him around toward recovery. And so she stood there for a minute, and she looked at me, and she said, "So I know what you do. It's more than just therapy. You saved my son's life."
In the Gospels, one reads about Jesus sending out the 72 in their first missionary expedition, and the first thing he calls them to do is to bring healing to people. The good news of the kingdom, absolutely, that God reigns, Caesar does not, but also to bring healing. And that's what these dogs do. I want to say I'm very, very thankful to the people of Glory Day Lutheran Church who were willing to allow us to bring dogs into worship. You know, churches can be a little horsey. Yeah. And yeah, right. And some people could have dug in their heels and said, as some were, they said, "I'm allergic. This is a tough thing for me to come to worship because I'm very much allergic to dogs." But folks like that were willing to sit on one side. We set up a, I don't know what's that thing called, a air purifier, and we had the dogs on the other side. They were willing to take a risk with that, and it proved to be very, very beneficial. It brought more depth to our worship experience together. These dogs helped make us better human beings, and we're both committed to the healing of the world. We appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today.